Well, hello there. I am Jerry S. from Sacramento, California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. In case you're wondering, I have been a compulsive overeater my entire life. I was a fat baby, I was a chubby kid, and I was an overweight adult. I was always on a diet trying to lose weight. See, I thought if I were skinny, my life would be terrific. I'd get the boyfriend, I'd get the job, everyone would like me. But you know what? That wasn't my experience. I remember one diet I went on, I got down to a size 4 pants. I was so excited. I went out and I spent $1,000 on clothes. Because I don't know about you, when I go to the store, nothing fit. And this time, every single thing I tried on fit. I went, oh my God. And I just bought a shitload of clothes. So here's what that looked like. Size 4 pants. Watch out, world. But a funny thing happened. It didn't solve my problems. I started to get a lot of tension from guys. Wolf whistles from truck drivers. Men were following me around. And I freaked out because I didn't know how to handle it. Because I may have been wearing a size 4 pants, but inside I was still that chubby fat kid you just saw. And so I put that weight back on so fast and make your head spin. And I come by my food addiction, honestly, because everybody in my family is overweight. My brother weighed over 400 pounds. My mom, who was 5'2", probably got up to 250. She got so big she could barely walk. She couldn't dress herself. She couldn't bathe herself. When she fell down, we had to call 911 because we couldn't lift her. By the end of my mom's life, she was confined to a wheelchair. She was a prisoner inside her own body. When she died, the doctor said, Jerry, your mom died of kidney failure. And I went, no, my mother died of food addiction. Because by the time she died, most of her organs began shutting down. They couldn't keep up. I believe my mom died of the disease of compulsive eating. And I also have the same disease. And I just heard I can't mention food. So I will say that my drug of choice was always sugar. And when I get really crazy, all I would eat were desserts. I wouldn't eat regular food at all. Because if you're eating desserts all day, regular food tastes like cardboard. So I was able to give up sugar a couple of times, but every single time I took it back. I remember going to an OA meeting and a woman shared that she called her sponsor and said, I hate my abstinent food. It is so boring. I'm going out, I'm going to buy some chocolate cake and the hell with it. And her sponsor said, wait a minute, hold it. Hold. I want you to do one thing. And she said, well, what? When you buy that cake, bring it home, put it on a chair, get down on your knees, bow down to that cake and say, you are my God. Well, that kind of spoiled it for that sponsee. She decided not to buy it after all. But that was my story. Desserts were my God, and I had to obey them. So I finally hit bottom when I went into menopause. I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I couldn't stop the eating. I tried all my tricks, all my diets, and nothing worked. I was totally freaked out. So in 2002, I dragged my butt into an OA meeting in Maui, Hawaii. That's where I was living. And I found myself in a room full of complete strangers talking about steps, traditions, and God. Did I walk into the wrong meeting? I wasn't sure. But I was so desperate and I was drowning in my food addiction. I didn't know what to do anymore, so I stayed and I listened. And that's when I heard people say they did the same crazy things with food I did. They ate out of garbage cans. They ate burnt food. They ate frozen food. They stole food. They told me it wasn't my fault that I couldn't stop eating, that I really had a disease, and it was called compulsive overeating. And the only way to deal with my food addiction was to find a power greater than myself to help me. They suggested I get a sponsor to help me work the steps and said, you're going to need to go to any lengths if you want to recover from food addiction. But there was not a lot of recovery in that meeting. So I got on the internet and I found an email sponsor who lived in Seattle, Washington. This was the woman who lost 80 pounds in OA and kept it off for 15 years. I never met anybody who lost a lot of weight on a diet and kept it off that long. So I contacted her. She said, yeah, I'll sponsor you. Go out and buy a big book. I said, a what? Go out and buy a copy of Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book. I said, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. She said, I'm just asking you to do what worked for me. Just follow my suggestions. Go out, get a book, big book, get a highlighter, start reading from the very beginning, highlight anything that resonates, and write on it. And we will email our writing to each other. So in 2002, that's how I started working the OA program. Finally, one day I said, excuse me, how is studying this big book going to help me get skinny? And she encouraged me to just follow her suggestions and do what worked for her, which was work the 12 steps and make the commitment to stay abstinent from my binge foods. Since there wasn't a lot of recovery at my meeting, I ordered $150 worth of cassette tapes from OA World Service so I could hear long-timers tell me how they did it and share their stories. I heard some amazing shares. I remember one woman said, I had five miscarriages, but I didn't pick up my binge foods. Another woman said, my husband left me for my best friend, and I didn't pick up my binge foods. Oh my goodness, how did they do that? As I listened to all those shares, I started to feel hopeful. So here is the miracle. On March 19, 2002, I put down sugar. I have not picked it up since that day. I have no idea how that happened. Because the day before, all I ate were desserts. I think it's because I was so busy reading, writing, praying, working steps, going to meetings. I didn't have time to drive to 7-Eleven and buy crap. But to me, that's got to be a God thing, because there's no way I could have done it myself. And the rest of my story is baby steps. So I gave up sugar and boom, 22 pounds fell off me, like that. And but for the next 12 years, I didn't lose another pound. You know why? I was playing God with my food. I was being my own higher power with my food plan. And that was my experience until 2014 when I moved to Sacramento. I thought, you know, I think I've got to get a live sponsor and do this, the right way. But I was terrified. I was afraid I was going to ask someone who's going to ask me to do stuff I was not willing to do before. So I finally met an old timer with a very strong program and I asked her to sponsor me. And sure enough, she said, I want you to call me every morning. I said, every morning? You know, I'm not really a morning person. Are you sure? Okay. I'm going to call you every morning. All right, I want you to read the literature. All right, I'll do that. And do some writing. Fine. And I want you to meet with me every 2 weeks and we'll go over what you wrote. So she said, jump. And I said, how high? And the weight started coming off again. All right. But you know what happens with this disease? After a while, the weight loss stopped again. So I became willing to get a food sponsor and commit my food every day. And I became willing to tell the absolute truth about what I was eating. I had never been willing to do that before, ever. And I was really scared when I typed that first email. I was thinking, what's she going to think about my food? It's kind of weird. She's going to think it's pretty boring. I mean, I eat pretty much the same thing every day. And then I hit send. So for the past 11 years, I've planned and committed my food every day. And I told the truth about what I was eating. And what I experienced was total relief. Relief that I was not in charge of the food anymore. But you know what? I was never in charge of the food. Shirley was in charge of the food. So who's Shirley? Shirley's the name that I gave my addict self who lives in my mind. She was always running the show. She lives in my mind. She lies to me all the time. And while we're sitting here, Shirley is outside on the lawn doing push-ups, just waiting for me to screw up. So I can't explain to you why I've been willing to do these things and why I waited so long to do them. But the result of taking all these actions has been a weight-losing abstinence. And the only way I've ever been able to stop the insane cycle of my food addiction was by getting on the A train. I had to become aware that I have an illness, that I am a food addict. I do not eat like other people. I had to accept that if I put a binge food in my mouth, I'm in big trouble. And I had to take action, which was to work the 12 steps with a sponsor. But I'll tell you what actually happened. After working the 12 steps all these years, I finally realized OA has nothing to do with food or weight. I have a spiritual illness, and I needed to find a power greater than myself that would solve all my problems, not just my food and my weight. My sponsor opened my eyes about the spiritual nature of this program by showing me this photograph. This is a picture of the big book. On the left, it's got all the pages ripped out that refers to God or higher power. On the right is a copy of the entire book. So, what do you think this program is really about? And it says in the big book, we may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Well, when I got to OA, I didn't have God in my life. I started working the steps, I started saying the prayers, but I didn't really meditate. I couldn't figure out how to do it because I've got chattering monkeys in my brain all the time, and they never shut up. My sponsor said, you know, prayer is when you're talking to God. But meditation is when you're listening to God. And if you're only praying and you're not meditating, it's like you rang God's doorbell, but then you ran away before he opened the door. So I finally had a big breakthrough when I started practicing something called two-way prayer. I'd write a question for God, I'd get very quiet, and then wait to hear back what he said. And it came in handy when I got this new sponsee. A woman called and said, I need a sponsor and I'm anorexic. I went, can I call you back? Let me see if I can find an anorexic sponsor. So I called her back and said, look, I couldn't find one, but I don't want to leave you hanging. So, all right, I'll sponsor you. But I had no idea how to do that. So I looked up ABA, Anorexic Bulimics Anonymous. I read all their literature. I was very nervous. So I told her, look, let's meet on Zoom every single day. We're going to work the steps out of the big book. And as we got to know each other, turned out she is a devout Christian. And she can't stand it when people say higher power. She thinks they're insulting Jesus. She also couldn't stand the big book. She thought it was blasphemous. What about the Bible? So I said to her, listen, I am a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn. I overeat. You are a devout Christian. You starve yourself. I don't know how this is going to work. So we set out together to try to find a loving God because her God was really scary. And she was not going to surrender her food to that God. And my God, I never really related to him before, but 23 years ago, he lifted my sugar addiction. So I know something was going on. So we started doing two-way prayer together during our Zoom sessions. We each wrote a question to God. We both meditated for 5 minutes, and we wrote down what God wrote back. We shared it. So I'm going to tell you about one time, which was very interesting. I wrote, "Dear God, I'm really worried about my sponsee. She's getting weak and sick from lack of nutrition. I'm not sure what else to do to help her." You want to know what God wrote back to me? "Dear Jerry, you don't have to worry about her. I've got her back. I sent her to you so you could find me." There's a very famous Christmas movie called It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart. He's about to kill himself, and an angel comes down to try to help him. So to distract James, the angel jumps into the river, and James jumps in to save the angel. I'm here to tell you that this anorexic sponsee saved my ass because she helped me find God while I was trying to help her find God. And here it is, 6 years later. She's still abstinent from harming herself with starvation, and I'm still abstinent from sugar. And because of this experience, I started sponsoring a whole different way. I now ask all my sponsees to start their morning with a quiet time and getting connected with their higher power. Because the truth is, unless I have a higher power who's greater than me, when the shit hits the fan, I'm going to crash and burn. So my new goal as a sponsor is to put my sponsee's hand into the hand of their God, and the rest is up to them and their higher power. But you know, I never take my own advice, right? So if I get resentful or upset or scared, my sponsor says, "So, Jerry, where's God in all this?" And I usually have no clue because I'm trying to figure everything out myself. So I recently turned 80. And you know, I felt fine when I was 79. When I actually turned 80, I started to panic. I went, "Uh-oh, I read about all these people who drop dead in their 80s. That could be me." So God sent a messenger, a woman who dragged me to a meditation meeting. And the speaker talked about something called conscious aging. I looked it up. And here's what it said about conscious aging. It said, "A time to reimagine, recreate, redesign, and reinvent who you are." Whoa, that was a game changer. I've never thought of it that way. It directed me to explore all the possibilities. So, to finish up, I have come to believe I have a spiritual disease that is disguised as a food problem. My addiction gets triggered by life. I don't know how to cope with life. I use food to cope when I'm upset or scared or resentful, and that doesn't work. But working the 12 steps does work. The 12 steps, they're a spiritual program of action. If I don't take my actions, I break out in food cravings and I start to think you're my problem. I start to believe the world is my problem and politics are my problem. And that is the big lie that my addict Shirley wants me to believe. Shirley lives in my mind. She lies all the time. So every morning, the first thing I have to do is get connected with my higher power, because my higher power restores me to sanity. And my higher power is stronger than the liar in my mind. If I do that, then I can have a good day with the food and with my life. Thanks for asking.